I'd like to welcome everybody to the City Council meeting Monday, 26th of October 2015, 7 p.m. in the City of Shore Acres. First line of business, roll call, Mr. Stahl.
Alderman Jennings?
Present.
Alderman McCowen?
Present.
Alderman Chanel?
Present.
Mayor Moses?
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Adams?
Present.
Alderman Wheeler?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Moving on to item 2.0, pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. Pledge allegiance to the United States, under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentations. There are no special presentations tonight. Item 4.0, approval of minutes. Moving down to 4.1, regular council meeting, October the 12th, 2015. If the council's had time to review those minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
I'm sorry. And do we have a second?
I'll second.
No, thank you. Any questions from council? No questions being all those approve.
Aye.
All those against? Approval is out. Moving on to 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, items of community interest. I'm going to wait and waive that tonight. There's no new business at this time. Moving on to 6.0, public hearings, public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council will comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by all participating discussion deliberation items specifically identified on this agenda. With that being said, I'll start with the back row first over here and work our way. Mr. Stanton, please. State your name again.
Stanton, 128 Shady Island. Well, I got my the backup of this meeting. In the email, there was something in there about a contract with San Jacinto College, and I don't see anything here about San Jacinto College. The contract that for $30,000 that they were going to pay us for the police department.
That was pulled from the agenda.
Okay. No question there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. It was pulled from the agenda.
Anybody else in the back? Anybody in the front? All right. Then we want 7.0 administrative reports, 7.1 monthly financial reports. Mr. Stahl.
In your packet is the annual for the monthly report. It does have our full fiscal year in there, although it's not been trued up. But I would point out some of the high points. On the general fund budget, we came in with revenue of $119,646 in excess of what was budgeted. So that's $119,600 to the good. Our expenditures were $223,570 under budget. So we performed well on both revenues and on expenses. And the utility fund revenues, our revenues fell short by $24,688. And our expenditures also were under what was budgeted by $17,735. And our checking accounts at the end of September, the general fund balance was $123,546. And in the last 12 months, it's with it's down by $568.93. The utility fund, the end of the month, the balance was $82,862. And that ends the 12-month period with $28,678 more than the start of the year. And on the service deposit account, those are funds that we hold on utilities for deposit, not our money. We have $55,587. We still have a maintenance amount in the Texas Community Development Block Grant Fund. We should be closing that out in the next few months. The balance is $1,023.07. In Tech School, we have $684,070. We have our certificates of deposit. We have four of them. We've not drawn those or cashed or refunded any certificates in a very long time, certainly not in the last year. Maturity value of $255,852. On property tax, total amount of property tax, both current 2014 and delinquent taxes, we have received $885,077 in property tax revenue. On sales tax, we fell short of our budgeted number. This, at the end of September, well, in September, we brought in $6,288. We had budgeted, we did in excess of what we budgeted. We had budgeted $67,000, and we brought in $75,630. So we did very well on the general sales tax, and of course, road maintenance sales tax is 25% of that number. Additional funds, so our year-end number is $18,907. And we had budgeted $16,750, so we overperformed on our sales tax. And that's the financial report.
Thank you, Dave. Any council members have a question for Dave?
Yes.
Alderman Jennings.
Mr. Stahl, how much has Texpool dropped this fiscal year?
Texpool, the funds that we have in Texpool, $321,303. I'm sorry. That's the total of the withdrawals. The delta between the beginning of the year and the end of the year is $111,512.
So we had to draw from savings to cover the budget.
That is not true. We didn't draw anything from savings to cover the budget. We had budgeted funds for the budget, and we expended those. It's not like it's a savings account that we pull extra money from. It's all the same money. Text pool, the checking accounts, it's all the same money.
Okay.
Any other questions for council? We're on item 8.0, business, 8.1. Consideration approval invoices. If the council's had time to look over the invoices, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Mm-hmm. Any questions for the council? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Moving on to item 8.2, discussion and consideration adoption of ordinance number 2015-188, authorizing an agreement between the City of Shore Acres and the Economic Alliance Support Region to promote economic development, benefit the city, and authorizing the mayor to execute such agreement. This is the information that was provided from Chad Burton, who was here on the last council meeting. We'll entertain a motion first before I ask for questions. I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to pass ordinance 2015-188.
Thank you, Alderman Snow. We have a second.
Second.
All right. Any questions from the council on this? As I explained, this is the one that Chad Burton and I spoke to everybody about. Now, being all those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.3, discussion and consideration action to address insubordination on the part of the city secretary for failure to comply with ordinance number 2015-183 and direct violation of government code 551.006 pertaining to the council message board. Alderman Snell.
First of all, just for the record, this is not exactly what I wanted to talk about insubordination with. I've been contacted with the mayor emailing back and forth starting the 12th of October, and when he replied and said it would be on the agenda regarding the VBS system, my reply in part reads, my request for a special session has absolutely nothing to do with the VBS. My request strictly pertains to the debacle and its illegalities of this year's tax rate. I do wish to have a session placed on the Monday agenda, 10/26, specifically regarding the legality and improper direction given by Mr. Stahl and the effects of these actions on the city as it pertains to the 2016 tax rate and budget. I don't know how much more clear I could have been. But that being said, being that this is on here, there's an issue with the BBS system as well. August 10th, council passed a bulletin board system. A lot of you will remember, so council can go on and communicate electronically. All the citizens can read it. And that way, we can stay compliant with the Texas Open Meeting Act. It's just a good tool for us and as well for the citizens to stay informed. And when we passed that, it was very specific to definitions of what a user is, and that means all members of the governing body and city staff members authorized by the mayor, and that the city administrator, which Mr. Stahl said that he would be the administrator, shall be responsible for the installation and maintenance of the message board. And it further says that users shall have message board read and write privileges. Users shall be denied modification and delete privileges to all message posted. Well, and then we also said that it needed to be created within 30 days of passage. It was passed, and the posts need to be real time, according to the Written Electronic Communications Act, which is the Texas Government Code 551.006. It states that the post must be real time. So it's not like it sends something and a moderator, you know, goes over and makes sure it's okay. You post it, it's there, real time. That wasn't happening until late in September. And when I brought it to Mr. Stahl's attention, he did get that corrected the next day, and I'm happy for that. But the problem that we're having now, you can still go in and edit. And there's a citizen that actually went on there and registered and was able to post test, not a member of this board, not someone approved by the mayor. And then he was able to go in and delete it. That's indirect, flies into what was directed that needed to happen. And it's not legal. And so, you know, maybe Mr. Stahl has too many hats. I know that he does a lot in the city, but he volunteered to take the responsibility to do this, and he's not doing that. And that's why I wanted council to be made aware, and something needs to be done. When you have a directive given by council that this needs to happen, it needs to happen. And anyone else in the city that's directed, like Mr. Stahl tells Mr. Ingram, hey, you need to go do X, Y, or Z, if he just doesn't do it, I believe that there's probably going to be some consequences for Mr. Ingram, let's say. But there doesn't seem to be any accountability. I wanted that to be out there and get any feedback from council.
We'll start now with him, Mr. Wood.
Yeah, I've got some feedback. First of all, Mr. Stahl did not volunteer to take on this. It was basically dropped in his lap against the wishes of at least three councilmen when this was all discussed. In fact, the three councilmen I'm referring to specifically had issues with dropping this on David Stahl and his staff because of time constraints. And at that time, you mentioned that Ron Hoskins had the expertise and the time and the willingness to do this. And I asked you point blank if Mr. Hoskins had been approached and was willing to take this on. And your reply was, I know for a fact that he'd be more than willing to. So how did that get dropped on David Stahl?
Mr. Stahl did not contact him.
That was not David Stahl's responsibility. You're the one that volunteered Mr. Hoskins. If anybody dropped the ball, it was you.
No, sir. And you can't sit there and say three members had problems because if three members wanted to vote against it, we wouldn't have passed it.
There was concerns brought up by three members of council and the mayor. I listened to the tape this afternoon. I understand it passed. It passed because you convinced council that this was all going to be done. It wasn't going to have any impact on Mr. Stahl's time or energy or his staff.
And I have an email from Mr. Hoskins to Mr. Stahl saying that he could get it done in 7 days instead of 30.
Why wasn't he contacted to do it, to be the administrator?
That's not my job.
That's all I'm talking about.
Mr. Adams, I know I was one that voted yes on this item, and I mean I could see the merits of it. Other cities have it. I think it could be a useful tool. I know it's a lot of work on the moderator. It would be nice if Mr. Hoskins could pitch in. Alderman Snell, what was the reply from TML?
As far as the Texas Municipal League, as far as the VBS, they said that it could be considered insubordination because he was given a directive as city secretary.
That's all.
Alderman Cox, John.
Well, my opinion from the night that we voted was I'm against it. I'm still not for it. And I think we have our time that we can use more wisely than on this. But, you know, it passed, so I have no further comment at this time.
Alderman Jimmy.
Yeah, to answer Alderman Wheeler's question, I would ask Mr. Stahl. In fact, Mayor Moses, could you ask Mr. Stahl why Ronna Hoskins was not contacted?
Was Mr. Hoskins contacted, sir?
I was contacted by Mr. Hoskins, and he volunteered to work on the bulletin board system. However, City Council passed an ordinance, and the ordinance clearly says that the person or persons designated by the governing body to maintain the city's website. And that would be me. And I'm uncomfortable having Mr. Hoskins do that work and me be responsible for it. It's bad enough that I am unfamiliar with the system. And at this point, still haven't completely figured it out. I've got a 200-page instruction manual on it, and I'm trying to wade through it. And I've reached out to our IT person, who I have confidence in, and they've been unable to help me at this point. But I did have that offer from Mr. Hoskins, but the directive is I'm on the hook for it. And since Mr. Hoskins takes to using your website to routinely blast me for all kinds of things I would take objection to, I'm very uncomfortable having him do this work for me.
I'm sorry. Mayor Moses, could you have Mr. Stahl clarify what he just said about your website?
I'm talking about the Shore Acres, Texas website that I understand that you operate and Mr. Hoskins posts editorial on.
You're right. I have no control over content of that website.
Well, I'm not taking issue with that, and I'm not taking issue with it being posted.
You brought it up.
And I'm just saying that makes me uncomfortable having Mr. Hoskins perform work for me.
So you would rather, let me get this straight, just to be clear, instead of getting help from someone that could help you, you would rather have the bulletin board system that is in place not conform to the law because you don't like the citizen that wanted to help you?
No, that's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if council would like Mr. Hoskins to do the bulletin board system, I would be thrilled. But council needs to do that and not have it be me then.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I sent you an email, and you asked the city attorney for clarification, because I am not participating in that bulletin board because it doesn't meet state code. And I asked you about that. And I've never received a response other than, you know, what don't you like about it? And I asked you, why did you approve something that doesn't meet state code? And I've never received a response. So, Mayor Moses, my question is, are we going to get this corrected, or are we going to continue to do this kind of stuff that makes us all look bad?
My answer to that is if Mr. Stahl feels uncomfortable with Mr. Hoskins assisting him, I would ask the council to look at the fact that he might want to look at this venue and placing Mr. Hoskins in control of it. But that brings me to a question, being a legal counsel here. And it may not be anything at all. I'm just spitballing here to make sure that I'm covering all ends. It seems like we've had some end discrepancies and we've been under a fine-tooth comb here, or whatever you want to call it, until we've got somebody looking at every little detail. I want to make sure we're clear. Mr. Hoskins has run for office before in this as a councilman and as a mayor. Is there anything detailed, any type of legal issues there because he's run for office before? There shouldn't be. I'm just asking. Probably nothing at all. Just making sure to cover all the details here.
No, the administrator has per ordinance says it shall mean the person or persons designated by the governing body to maintain the city's website. So that would not preclude y'all from changing if you wanted to.
So in essence, what we could do if Mr. Stahl feels uncomfortable, then the council would need to reinstate an amendment, per se, to have Mr. Hoskins overlook in, at this...
You would have to be an administrator.
An administrator, correct.
Correct.
So would that be something you would entertain?
Yes. Do we need to put that off?
You would need to put that off.
Agenda item.
It would have to be on the next agenda.
Yeah.
So I'm going to...
It would be an amended ordinance.
Okay. Well, how does the council feel about that?
Let me make two comments. One, I don't believe it would require another ordinance because this ordinance says shall mean members, shall mean the person or persons designated by the governing body. I imagine you could do that by a resolution or something less formal than changing the city code because from time to time you can anticipate it would change.
You could.
And when we put it in the code, it costs us money every time we have it published. So
you could do it by resolution. It just needs to be a subsequent meeting.
And I would also like to answer Mr. Denny's question. I did get your email. I asked for clarification about what was in the terms and conditions that you objected to. That did not stop me from moving forward to looking at how I could manually create the user as you requested. At this juncture, I have not seen how the system will allow me to manually create a user. I am continuing to work on your request. I did not, however, get a response on the terms and conditions, but as long as I can manually do it, that won't make any difference.
So, Alderman Jennings, you had a question for me. Basically, my answer to that is to a subsequent meeting to elect Mr. Hoskins as the administrator. Does that answer your question completely, sir?
Sure.
All right.
I would like to see that on the November 9th council meeting.
And what was the other information that my misunderstanding of what you asked me? What else were you wanting on the agenda while we're having you asking?
Well, we'll end up getting into that anyway with the... It'll come up here shortly.
Okay. So with that being said, we're ready to move on?
Well...
Do you have another question, Mr. Jennings?
Yes, Mayor Moses. Alderman Snell said that she asked you to put something on the agenda and something else appeared. I guess I'm confused.
That's a discrepancy. Human error. That's how I answer that.
That's a discrepancy.
That's correct. Maybe I read it wrong. Maybe I read it too fast. I thought that I actually had what she had on there. How else can I help you?
That'll do.
I thought so. Moving on to item 8.4. Consideration action to adopt resolution number 2015-156. Designating a representative alternate to the Houston Galveston Area Council 2015 General Assembly. With that being said, does the council have anybody they'd like to elect to put on this? Have a nominee for backup. Somebody would like to volunteer.
I was just on it, so... Somebody else can take a turn.
I'll do it if the council would like me to.
I'll nominate Nancy Snell.
Okay. All right. Good nomination. Mr. Adams nominated Ms. Snell as a second.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any questions, council? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those against? Ayes have it.
Do you have an alternate?
That was going to be the alternate, wasn't it, David?
No, that's the representative.
Okay. All right. Who wants to take place for the alternate?
I'll I'll be alternate.
All right, Richard. Thank you, Richard.
Did you hear that? Chris Turpin.
Mr. Adams, so that'd be the alternate. I guess we have to have a motion on that.
Yes.
I move that you make Richard Adams the alternate.
Thank you. You have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Any questions, counsel? All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have.
Thank
you, Alderman Snell. Thank you. David, can you turn that air down?
Yeah,
I can do it. What? I thought you had a code on
there. No.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Adams, thought it had a code on it. Right around there. 8.5, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2015-189, ratifying the fiscal year 2015-2016 budget, change required cover sheet under section 102.007 of the Texas Local Government Code to reflect that the adopted budget raised more revenue for the property taxes than last year's budget by an amount of $14,327, which is a 1.66% increase from last year's budget. The property tax revenue is to be raised from new property added to the tax roll this year is $17,175. This calculation is based on the anticipation adoption of the tax rate of 0.765505 at every $100. Stipulated under 2605, character C of the Texas Code, which is lower than the calculation that was based on previously adopted tax rate of 0.826000 at every $100.
Point of order.
Yes, sir.
When did the council has never adopted a tax rate of 0.826000? Legally.
Our attorney.
That is what, for those that don't know, Christopher Gregg was great.
That's our state.
You were the city
attorney? City attorney, Christopher Gregg, Gregg and Gregg. My apologies. I should have
asked. Yeah, we don't.
Mr. Gregg. My apologies.
Yes, you were correct that tonight, after this agenda item, there will be another agenda item to ratify the tax rate that you will have. And that is by default. And we will get to that at the next agenda item. But the reasoning for the way this is worded is because the last budget that was passed that had the cover sheet on it presupposed that you were going to have that 8.2600. What I'm saying is when it passed, that's what is attached. That's the current budget with the current cover sheet. What this ordinance is doing is ratifying the actions of council, and it is correcting that cover sheet so that when you do pass the adopted rate after this agenda, it is going to be a correct cover sheet. That is why.
There was never a previously adopted tax rate legally of 0.826000. Time for you to show me where it happened.
Alderman Jennings, it was adopted at the meeting. Whether or not
if it was adopted legally, we wouldn't be here doing this.
I understand that. And you asked me the other day, what are we going to do to cure this? We're curing this tonight. And my advice is to pass this budget amendment and is to pass the ratification of the adopted rate on the next agenda item so that you have a budget and you have a rate. And that is how you cure it.
I understand
that. And if someone is going to contest that after the fact, the city is in a much better position if you do this tonight than if you don't. I will tell you that.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But the wording says that it was based, I'm just reading it, based on the previously adopted tax rate. And it was never adopted.
It's which is lower than the calculation that was based on that adoption. If you look at the cover sheet that is on your current budget that was filed, it's higher. It's higher because you obviously thought at the meeting when you adopted the budget that you were going to have a higher tax rate. Be it 8.6000 or what was advertised at 8.6 whatever the higher number was. That obviously did not occur You were correct that the ordinance at this time was not specific enough, it didn't track the language, and that's what we're hearing tonight. This cover sheet with this budget amendment is accurate in that with regard to the tax rate that will come following this at 0.76505, this is why this budget is more than last year's budget by $14,327, a 1.6% increase.
Yeah, I have a point of order, Mayor. You need to overrule that.
So you've asked your question. Do you have any other questions?
No. I had a point of order. You have to overrule that.
You're overruled.
Okay. So, yes, I do have some questions for Mr. Dredd. Thank you. On October 13th, you sent an email to Mr. Stahl and the Mayor Moses, and amongst others, and you said, "I am working on the ordinance for the meeting to adopt the tax rate. Given what transpired last night and the objections raised by Aldermen Jennings and Snell, I recommend that the ordinance that is presented to Council after the conclusion of the upcoming two public hearings reflect the proposed rate of 0.826745. That was on October the 13th. That was after our meeting of the 12th.
Correct. That was assuming we could meet deadline.
Right, and we couldn't do that.
Correct.
So my question is, prior to that, we met on October the 8th, sorry.
Okay.
And I walked in, and Mr. Stahl had changed the proposed tax rate to 0.826000, and the reason for that was that he didn't want to roll back the election, right? And he said that you had advised him to do that. My question is, why did you change in 5 days your advice? On October the 8th, Mr. Stahl said you advised him to change the rate that we proposed. And then on October 13th, you said, and I'll quote again, I think that you
October
should.
October the 8th, I believe you called my dad, because I didn't get the phone call.
Okay. No one answered the phone on October the 8th, by the way.
Okay, well, however.
Prior to October the 8th, okay, Mr. Stahl said.
Can I try to reply?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
I believe, if it is accurate, that you tried to contact the director with regard to that specific issue. Before I call, I don't know.
Well, I'll say again, exactly what I said before. Following the council meeting, when we proposed a tax rate, I had a conversation with Big Greg Jr., the city attorney, and I told him of council's action. It was more of an aside of what transpired at the meeting. And his comment was a caution, not a directive, but a caution not to adopt 8% because you could trigger a rollback challenge. And the council should adopt an amount less than that, which, of course, I knew from prior years when we were in the situation that was similar. And so it was the staff recommendation that came back on October 8th that was in the ordinance of 7.95%, which was dropping the last three digits in rounding the tax rate.
Okay. I have a public information access request. And Mr. Stahl doesn't reference that conversation in that. Doesn't say it happened, ever.
Maybe it wasn't put in writing. I don't know.
But phone records were also requested, and it wasn't there. So my question is, why would...
Phone record from where?
From
city to yes. City attorney's office?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't say anything.
Yeah. And it wasn't there. So... On that, you want me to play?
You're a public document, or there's not.
Right. But Mr.
Stahl,
there's
no way to respond to that.
Right. But Mr. Stahl said that your advice was that we not use that, and the question is why? Because as we know, if we adopt the rollback rate, the only thing that triggers, if you go above the rollback rate,
then we can have an election and roll it back to the rollback rate. So why would your firm advise them not to do that? I don't understand at all. It makes no sense.
Well, obviously the advice at the time was to be, as David Stahl said, was to be cautious, because it just doesn't seem like it's in the best interest of the city to incur a large expense if you have control over what your proposed tax rate is going to be. And why would you have a rollback rate? Why would you do that? That's probably the common sense.
We didn't go above the rollback rate. So, what is the election going to be? Your advice makes no sense. You're
asking me to talk about a conversation that I wasn't present. So I don't know.
Well, but you're the city attorney, and I asked for the city attorney.
I understand, but there can be other people in the city attorney's office that give an answer. What I'm telling you is, as I sit here tonight, I don't know. I don't know. Probably it was thought at the time that it would.
So if we do a public information access request, and that conversation is not part of the records produced, it's just in the ether somewhere?
Alderman Jennings, it has to be in writing. Yes. If it's not a memo, if it's not in writing, there's nothing to produce to you. You cannot produce a verbal conversation.
Sure you can.
Okay.
I talked to the city attorney on October the 4th or 5th or whatever, and he advised me not to do this. I mean, Mr. Stahl said this in the council meeting, and the mayor said, based on the city attorney's advice, we're not going to do this.
Whether it was put in writing, I don't have anything in writing to that thing.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Any other questions? Mr. Stahl? On the shelf.
I have a plethora of problems with this ordinance. I understand what the intent is to take corrective action so we can actually adopt a tax rate legally for a change.
Well, this one right here is for the budget.
For the budget.
That's right.
It's all tied in together anyway. My main problem is this. Of the 26 whereases in the preamble here, so many of them, the city council has determined that unusual and unforeseen events have created a state of emergency and grave public necessity for the supplemental appropriation or transfer of certain funds to meet requirement of emergency expenditure. What the heck is unusual or unforeseen when, but for example, the publication as far as what the proposed tax rate that went to the newspaper was at 0.826745. That's what was published in the newspaper in September. And that being published in the newspaper, we knew that that was going to increase the taxes over this year. And it says in the newspaper that it's not going. And I have big issues with that. That wasn't my fault. That wasn't any of these folks' fault either. We thought we were doing the right thing, and we voted for a proposed rate of 826745. And that's what we had the public hearings on. And it's just shifting blame from, I believe, it's the city secretary, our city administrator, whichever hat you want to attribute to Mr. Stahl in this instance, because he'll tell you, and his contract says he's in charge of the day-to-day operations of the city. Not us. We didn't do anything wrong intentionally. And I have problems with all of this blame being shifted to council. There is no accountability. I have problems with the verbiage. Like I said, there's 26 whereases before we even get to the brass tacks of things. This has just been...
The 23 whereases are obviously trying to show factually what occurred and why this budget amendment is being proposed to council.
Yeah, why
is it? It is trying to ratify the actions of the previously adopted budget and curing the cover sheet. Because we need to. We need to be accurate as to what this budget cover sheet is going to actually be in reference to an adopted rate that you're being asked tonight to ratify after this adjournment. And that's by default, because
We have to do the effective rate this year.
Right.
Because it is less than last year's rate. And the tax code says if you do not adopt it by a certain time, which was yesterday, then you shall ratify this.
Right. I know. I know what the tax code says, but yeah. my problem is, and I'd like to see a paragraph in there that says, whereas this ordinance, we can throw another whereas in there, if necessary, due to the incompetence and poor advice of the city secretary. That would make me feel better. Because I think that council is being blamed, and this makes us all look like idiots, folks. Every single one of us.
I think that your statement, this doesn't fall within the guidelines here. Like I said, you want to put that on the next agenda somewhere.
No, I can make a motion to modify what I can do.
Well, you have that right.
But we don't have a motion on the floor yet, so I can't do that just yet. I'll wait. I'm done.
I'm just ready to move forward and set a budget.
I don't think any of these previous discussions had anything to do with correcting the situation that was. I mean, that's what this is all about, is correcting a situation. All right? Finger pointing and name calling doesn't resolve this. So let's get this done so we have a budget so we can submit our tax rate to the county.
This time I want to ask for a motion. Consideration 15-189, Title 5, fiscal year 2015/16 budget. Budget to change require, I'm going to read the whole thing so it's covered. Require cover sheet under section 102.007 of the Texas Law of Government Code to reflect that the adopted budget raised more revenue from property taxes than last year's budget by an amount of $14,327. Which is a 1.66% increase from last year's budget. The property tax revenue to be raised from the new property added to the tax roll this year is $17,175. This calculation is based on anticipated adoption of the tax rate of 0.765505/$100. Stipulated under section 2605 Texas Code, which is lower than the calculation that was based on the previously adopted tax rate of 0.826000/$100.
I make a motion we adopt ordinance number 2015-189 as read by the mayor.
Mr. Wheeler, we have a second.
Second.
I make a motion to modify.
Second.
I'd like to insert.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Alderman Snell has made a motion. The executive modification by Mr. Jim. Okay. Your modification.
I'd like to place it left page under section 4 above passed and approved the 26th day of October. I'd like for it to read, whereas this ordinance is necessary due to the incompetence and poor advice of the city secretary.
Then modification. Motion for modification been seconded. Any questions for the council? Sorry, Mr. Wheeler, about the modification, sir.
Nope.
Mr. Adams?
No.
No.
James?
I think it's reasonable.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Aye.
Nays have it.
Do me a favor, go through just since it requires
let's do a record vote.
To that modification, to that language being added.
Thank you, sir. To that modification, that language being made, starting with Alderman Jennings?
Aye.
Okay. This is to approve it.
This is to approve it with that modification.
That modification, I want to make sure it's
right. It's not the main list.
Just state your name, sir.
You're on the count. Approve. Am I misunderstanding what you're saying?
Yeah. This is to approve her modification. You're voting against it, Longo. This is to approve it, to put the language in there they're talking about.
No, against.
Against. Okay.
Nancy Chanel, 4.
Okay.
Richard Adams, no.
Mike Wheeler, nay.
Okay. All right.
With that, you go back to the main motion.
Now, with that being said, going back to the main motion that was made by Alderman Wheeler and seconded by Alderman Adams.
No, Jerome.
I mean, Jerome, excuse me, Coleman, I'm sorry, I wrote that down too. All those in favor? Record count, excuse me, once again. I'm sorry, my apologies. Now, this is for the main motion to pass ordinance 2015-189, ratifying for fiscal year 2015-2016. Alderman Wheeler, state your full name.
Mike Wheeler, yay.
Okay. Richard Adams, yes.
Nancy Schnell again.
Jerome McCown, yes.
And David Jennings, against.
The ayes have it. Item 8.6, consideration action to adopt ordinance number 2015-19, ratifying the 2015 tax rate of 0.765505 as provided under section 2506 of the tax code, providing for the assessment, levy, and collection of outstanding taxes of the city of Shore Acres, Texas for the year 2015 and for each year thereafter, until otherwise provided, establishing the date when wrong taxes become delinquent, providing for certain expectations, providing for the rate of assessment, providing for the penalty interest for delinquent taxes, repealing ordinance number 2015-186 and all other ordinances and parts of ordinances in conflict therein, providing for an effective date and providing for a savings clause. Now, I'm going to ask for a motion for that first. You have a motion?
I'll move.
I'll
second.
I'll move the second. Mr. James, move. Now the second. Okay. There's been a motion on the floor now, starting now.
That is a motion to approve.
You betcha.
Okay.
Always approve, no tax increase.
Okay.
Any questions for the council? All those in favor?
Do a record.
Oh, sure. Excuse me, my apologies. Mr. James, starting with you, Alden James.
Aye.
State your name, please, for me, just to get it right.
David Jennings, no tax increase. Aye.
Thank you, sir.
Jerome McCown, no tax increase. Aye.
Nancy Schnell, aye.
Richard Adams, aye.
Mike Wheeler, aye.
The ayes have it. Your motion passed. Thank you. 9.0 adjournment. We're adjourned at 7:47. Thank you, folks, for coming out. Thank you.